Welcome to NACSW's Podcast of the Month. Our podcast program makes available 20-minute samples of recordings of a wide variety of NACSW presentations and discussions on topics of particular interest to Christians in social work. Our Podcast of the Month program features a new sample podcast every 30 days for your listening pleasure. In addition, you can access the full-length version of this and all NACSW podcasts at no cost simply by becoming a member of NACSW or by ordering a copy of this podcast at a reasonable cost on NACSW's online bookstore. We hope you enjoyed today's sample podcast.
Welcome to our one-hour CEU presentation being sponsored by NACSW, North American Association of Christians in Social Work. Our presentation today will be by Julie Griffin, MSW and MSG. Her presentation today will be on Navigating End-of-Life Issues with Clients, an Overview for Social Workers.
Thank
Julie?
You.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
End-of-life issues. First thing people think about is death. There's a lot to do with end-of-life issues. Actually, any life stage change, once you become an adult, marriage, children, buying a home, retirement, every new stage in our lives, there's planning that needs to be done. There's documentation. There's a lot to think about. But when we talk about end of life, we're actually encompassing our whole life and how we're going to plan for it. And if we don't know how to do it for ourselves, it makes it even more difficult to help our clients and patients navigate through the process when they're already in a crisis mode. Those of you here today are with the North American Christians in Social Work. And I want to share with you everything that I share with all social workers, all service providers. But I do want to share a little bit of scripture with you. As we all know, God is a God of order, the Creator. And His Word, the Holy Bible, it is a book of preparation. It talks about how He prepared the world, how He prepared for us, and He gives us very clear instructions about how we are supposed to prepare for our futures as well. So moving beyond procrastination, most people know they need to get things in order, get your house in order, get stuff in order. We don't want to be at the end of life and someone says, you've got 6 months or less. Get your affairs in order. And you're going to go, oh. Well, it's a shock getting the news that there may be a medical problem. But the idea, the daunting task that we think is a daunting task of getting everything together is, oh. And we've all known from the time we were 18 years old that we need to keep track of things. We need to let our family know where they can find passwords. We need to let our family know what accounts we have. There's so much we need to share with our children and pass on to the next generation. So the information I want to share with you today, it's not just for what we're going to do with our clients. First, let's talk about how it's going to affect us. And why do we procrastinate? Why do we have this sensitivity about end-of-life issues? We're like a death-defying culture. We don't want to talk about death in this culture. Even though it's all around us, hospice is much more popular nowadays. It's a part of our vocabulary. We know that there's numerous websites out there to help us put everything together. We're all tech-savvy, and we know with the click of a button, we can go on the internet and find out any information that we're interested in. But let's kind of explore just a little bit and kind of demystify some of these personal fears that most of us, if not all of us, have had at some point in time. Even myself, I have been in the hospice field for almost 8 years now. I work with death and dying, and the fears around it on a regular basis. But even for myself, with everything I know, there's more I know I could do to prepare myself and my family. So just out of curiosity, does anybody want to share really quick any concerns they have? Is there any particular fear, or have you had a client mention anything? Does anybody wish to share?
I do.
Sure.
I have a patient right now who had a stroke on Thursday, so please lift him up in prayer. And he has a brother, but he was incompetent and could not fill out an advance health care directive.
That is a huge concern. And advanced health care directives, as well as psychiatric health care directives, is something we're going to be talking about in this session today. Thank you for sharing that with us. In the Holy Bible, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 35, cast all your anxieties and fears on him because he cares for you. He cares for me and you. And saying, yes, Lord, take it all. It doesn't fix the daily things we have to go through, the nitty-gritty things that we have to prepare for. There's navigating a host of other professionals, whether we're doing it for ourselves or we're assisting our clients and patients. There's attorneys. There are government agencies. There are medical providers. There's insurance companies. There's Social Security. There might be the VA. And there could be other agencies or organizations that are involved in someone's life that we may need to do a little bit of research and maybe some intervention, maybe some advocacy for. So you mentioned an advanced health care directive. Every single state has advanced health care directives. And I think most people became acutely aware of it because of very high-profile, newsworthy events like Terry Schiavo. Thank you. In Florida. Because one state may say, this is what end of life consists of, and another state may not. One state may say, your next of kin is your spouse, your parents, your children. Another state may have a little slightly different take on that. And so where you fill your advanced health care directive out, it'll follow you. But if you're going to move to another state or to another country, you may want to reconsider updating to what the norms and what the rules and the regulations and laws are in that area. Thank you. So an advanced health care directive. Living will, a lot of terms. An advanced health care directive is an opportunity for us as individuals to say, this is what I want, this is what I need for me. I've given each of you a handout, and it has a lot of information on it. And the very first page talks about a website called the Conversation Project. The Conversation Project helps individuals and families and organizations get that conversation going. One of the things that they really hone in on is we believe that the place to have the end-of-life discussion is at your kitchen table, not in the ICU ward when there's a crisis and an emergency. It all needs to be known in advance. A good place to start might be writing a letter to yourself. Sending a note card to a family member and say, you know, I just recently had a neighbor pass away, and it got me to thinking about what I might want for myself. Just an icebreaker to open up the conversation. When you start the conversation, you may find your spouse, your parents, your siblings, your children and grandchildren, they might have a different idea about what they think you want because they're going on their own desires, their own preconceived ideas, and their own fears. So it's good to get that conversation out, and because others disagree with you, it's good that you know it. You might want to keep having the conversation, keep bringing it up, sticking that information in there somewhere. You might want to write down a couple things and just kind of stick it in your wallet with your ID. until you're ready to formalize. On the internet, there are tons and tons of websites that help you get the conversation started. And I found the Conversation Project to be the most interesting one. At the bottom of your handout on this first page, it talks about the Conversation Starter Kit, and there's a link there. And I will be emailing each of you all of the resources, so you can just click the links and not have to type everything in. But too many people are dying in a way that they personally would not have chosen had they had opportunity and forethought and planned and put it in writing and made others aware of what they really do want and what they don't want. So we want to get those wishes known. We don't want it to be ourselves, and we don't want it to be our loved ones. Anecdotally, I have a child that works in the medical profession, and she just assumes, as you know, a hospice is an ancillary medical profession, she just assumed that, for instance, if I were in a car accident, well, it'd be no problem intubating mom temporarily, just to get her through. Well, mom said, no. In my personal belief, the way I feel right now, I've got everything written down. Nice red envelope. Everybody has a red envelope. I've told my family, you don't have to worry about unplugging me, as the phrase goes. We get that from the news media and from the movie world, to unplug. I said, you don't ever have to plug me in. But mom! So this is a conversation that's been going for a few years for us. She's my eldest child. And so I just very calmly said, honey, if it's going to be hard for you to make a decision, because all an advanced directive does is it gives you the legal right to advocate for what I have already chosen. You're not choosing anything new. All you have to do is stand between me and the doctors, between me and the lawyers, and say, this is what she said. Here it is. This is what she wants, and this is what she doesn't want. So, honey, it's not going to be your choice. I'm making the choice. Oh, she was so relieved to find out. I bet some of you didn't know that either, that advanced directive, you name a primary agent and two subsequent agents if their first one isn't available. They're basically just your advocate, and they're taking that piece of paper, flying into the ICU ward, flying into the ER, talking to whoever they need to, and saying, here it is. This is what she said. This is what he wants. This is what they don't want. So that's really exciting to know that advanced directive is not putting any additional pressure on you. So you might encounter family members or friends, coworkers that you say, hey, I would really like to list you as one of my agents. And they go, oh, I don't want that responsibility. Thank you, but no. You're not asking them to be the executor of your estate. This is much easier. And it does give you a legal right if the time comes and you go, I don't think I could hold up to that. So that's why it's good to have a second and a third person listed as your agent. Because the first person may not feel up to doing it themselves. They may have a crisis in their life at the time that it's needed. They may have some health problems of their own. It might cloud their own judgment. So then on this first page where we're talking about the Conversation Project, it says, have you had the conversation? It's all over their website. And they want to know, why is it important? 60% of the people they have polled said that they want to make sure that their family is not burdened with any tough decisions, and they think that it's very, very important. In fact, extremely important. 60% of the adults that have been surveyed. 56% have not had the conversation and explained their end-of-life wishes, even verbally, to anyone. But just saying it verbally isn't enough. In this day and age, we live in a litigious society. You have to put things in writing, even if you just handwrite it out. But the best thing to do, and it's free, is to do an advanced healthcare directive. Here in the state of California, you can do one have two witnesses that are not named individuals, people that are not related to you. They can sign it, fill it out. It's legal. You don't even have to pay for a notary.
Which is the best website to go, Julie?
I've got tons of websites for you. This one's called the Conversation Project to help you figure out how to have the conversation. And they've got this starter kit with really cool questions. Very, very simple, fill in the blank. Very short, takes about 3 minutes. But remember, if you don't need to talk about it just yet, you can just think about it. That's what we want you to do, is start thinking about it. And this is what you can tell your clients and your patients. Even if they're in a crisis situation, you can share with them. You don't have to make a decision right this minute, but the sooner you do, the more you'll be relieved. Did you have a question?
Yes. Yeah. Is the five wishes, does that carry, does that cover
yes.
everything?
And okay. I have their website listed also.
I have the form.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. Think about practicing the conversation with a friend. These conversations may be very revealing for you. On your second page of your handout, I have a list of, it's the beginning list actually, of online resources. And it may be in a, do we have you in, yes, online resources. So the next website that I find extremely useful for anyone here in the United States, it's called EverPlans, EverPlans.com. EverPlans is a secure website where you can put all, I mean all of your documentation. You can scan and download everything. And they have numerous, numerous guides that go state by state to help you figure out how to plan for any life event, whether it's having a new baby, whether it's newlyweds, whether it's retirement, but mostly end of life. The individuals that started this particular website are young, tech-savvy individuals that had some crisis in their own families, and they were at a loss trying to figure out what to do and where to put all this information and where to find information. Their website is extremely concise. It gives you a place where you can put all your essential documents. Each person that you give secure access to, they only can access the information you want them to have. So, your medical directives, your agents that have your advanced healthcare power of attorney, your medical power of attorney, that may be the only thing that they can access. Your spouse, or your children, or a parent, or a companion, you may want them to have access to some of your financial information. Passwords. Where to find safe deposit box key. Little things that are so common to our everyday life, we don't even realize how much connection we have to the outside world and how much information we're storing here. Most of us have at least a dozen passwords in our minds. And we might write them down somewhere. We probably should write them down somewhere because we could get stressed and have a lapse in memory. But I've given you also glossary. It came off the EverCare website that goes through just about any topic, any word that's part of the industry, whether it's legal or medical, that you might have a question about. Your insurance forms, they may have words that you have no idea what it means. You go, this must have been written by an attorney because it wasn't written for everyday people.
Because it probably was written by an attorney.
Yeah. There's another page of your online resources at the very top. It has the five wishes. Five wishes. Extremely popular. It is from a company, an agency, and their website is called Aging with Dignity. Now, each one of the websites that I've listed and that I'm going to forward it to you as far as your emails, and you can just click on, each one of them not only has a lot of information and how-tos, they all have toolkits, they all have planning guides, mapping guides to fit your specific needs. The one we just got through speaking about, the EverPlan, they have a starter kit. It's free. You can start up right up. If you want to use their full service, where you're putting everything in the cloud there, $35 a year. I'm not advertising. But they are the most concise one I have found so far. But on their website, they have at least a dozen other organizations, and I've listed some of them here. My Directives. My Directives website, mydirectives.com. They are available worldwide, even for international users. They have forms in there that will help people that are traveling or that are moving to another country. The next one is Prepare for Your Care. What type of medical care do we or don't we want? I've shared with you my own personal beliefs about one thing. Now, next week I might change my mind. But as I feel today, other than maybe a nasal cannula, that's as far as I want to go. But all of us need to learn, what does it mean to be resuscitated? What does it mean to have artificial feeding? There's a broad spectrum within the medical community on both. It could be something very temporary, like a feeding tube that goes through your nose. Or it could mean surgery, where you have some type of a peg permanently in place, and you're going under anesthesia to have that surgery. And then you have to think for yourself, not what your family wants, not what your spouse wants.
Thank you for listening today to this 20-minute sample of NACSW's Podcast of the Month featured selection. Just a reminder that you can access the full-length version of this and all NACSW podcasts at no cost by simply becoming a member of NACSW or by ordering a copy of this podcast at a reasonable cost on NACSW's online bookstore. We also hope that you will consider participating in additional NACSW activities and events, including NACSW's upcoming convention in the fall, our quarterly audio conference workshops, which provide CEUs accredited by the Association of Social Work Boards, and our online continuing education program. Also, we invite you to join NACSW's Facebook group or our Facebook fan page. For additional information about these and other NACSW benefits and services, you can go to our website at www.nacsw.org. Thanks again for listening in to our podcast session today.